3 minutes, tell you. It's a weird number. It's like you, it's long enough to start to get something going, and then you get going, and you're like, oh, time's up. And it's like, I don't know. So, all right, well, we've been working through a series over the past 3 weeks there where we're basically just coming back and wanting to walk through and remind ourselves as to our process here at Devonshire of helping people find and follow Jesus and the steps that we pray and we desire our church family to be walking through and going through towards the goal of helping people find and follow after Christ. And so here's two questions that we've been coming around each week and just asking us to consider. And it is this, first one was this, where are you at in the process of following Christ and becoming more like him? Where are you at? Just, you know, time to reflect over these 3 weeks. Like, where are you at in your walk with Christ and in the process of becoming more like him? And the second question is this, what next steps can you take to grow in your relationship with him? Here we are at the beginning of a school year. I think it's an appropriate time. It's that season where it's like, okay, let's think about where we're at and where we're going and what steps can we take at this time in regards to our lives spiritually. And a quick summary as to where we've been. The first week as we gathered together, we looked at what Paul had to say in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. And we came around what Paul said, and here's what he says. He said, him we proclaim, talking about Jesus, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. He said, I'm struggling, I'm toiling, I'm giving everything I've got for this one goal. And the purpose is I want to see people, and my desire is to see others grow in their walk with Christ. I want them to mature in Christ. And then we began to lay out the steps of what we believe are important for that here at Devonshire. And that first step for us, and you can see all this on that one insert that's in your bulletin, and we've worked through the first two sections, and so I'm not going to get into them here, but that first step in the process we called I'm Here. And it's the step in our process that talks about saying that I'm here, I'm making a decision, that I'm going to plug in, I'm present, I am here, I've found a place where I belong. I used the analogy or the illustration of a few weeks ago when I was I got to observe a triathlon taking place, and I was watching these athletes coming across the line and just thinking, like, these people did not make the decision this morning to do this. They made a commitment. They made a decision months ago, one, probably because the thing was sold out, but then they made the decision like months before, and they were going to say, I'm going to do this, and so I'm going to train, I'm going to prepare so that I'm going to get out in the water and swim, I'm going to get on a bike and do a whole load of miles, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to do the best that I can to get myself in a place where I can do this. And I don't know, Denny, I'm just seeing you and I'm just thinking of, so guys, I'm going to say it, Denny. So Denny has a big race that he's doing next week. He's going to run 100 miles. Doesn't that sound like smart? Denny, I just looked out, I'm like everybody needs to know this. Like, this guy has put in the miles. Like, he runs a marathon every month and up in the mountains and wherever he goes. And so just pray for him. Just pray for him to keep his sanity as he's like going and going and going. But that's going to be an accomplishment. You got it. But you don't wake up and you don't just decide, like, I want to do this on that day. But you prepare and you plan and you take the steps that you need to do. And so then we talked about the next step, which was, where are we at? Saying, okay, you can look through that. So that was the first step. Second step, I'm lost in where I'm at now. If Denny, you got me all everywhere else now. So that's the first step. The second step was that of I'm growing, which is basically, first one has to do with belonging and being in a place. The second step has to do with becoming and becoming more like Christ. And we looked at Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, where Paul talks about being knit together. Here's what he said, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." His prayer is for the local church. And he's writing for them and he's praying for them. He's like, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strengthened in your faith. And I want you to know the full assurance that there is to know that Jesus is everything, that he is fully sufficient in every single way, that in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he's saying, oh, how I desire for you to grow. I desire for you to become more like Jesus. And he's saying, here's how you do it. And this is the way I want to encourage you to do it, is by being knit together in love. And gives this picture of the kind of relationship that the church is supposed to have and the members that make it up are to have with each other towards that end. It's the kind of relationship where we're entwined together like yarn or like strings twined together. They're together, they're committed to each other. What is experienced by one is experienced by another. It's experienced by all of them. And it's in that kind of relationship that Paul is saying, you're going to experience that encouragement. You're going to experience that assurance. You're going to experience a deeper and fuller understanding of who Jesus is and mature in him. And so we walked through those next steps, and we talked a lot about finding a group as we were starting small groups up here this fall, to find a small group to plug into and to be a part of so that you can experience community care and spiritual growth and maybe even gathering together on a Sunday morning during one of the classes that are starting up. And so there was the belonging, there's the becoming, and then today we want to look at the third part, which is I'm going, which has to do with being a blessing. So there's the three B's, there's belonging, there's becoming, and there's being a blessing. I'm here, I'm growing, and I'm going. And so let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, just two little verses for us to shape our and to guide us today in our thoughts around this. Paul writes this, he says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. One more time. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning, as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and open our eyes. Would your spirit come and speak to us now? Guide us and lead us. Help us to understand, Lord, how it is and what those next steps are that you are calling us to take so that we might continue to grow into your likeness until that day when we get to see your face. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we continue our little study here through Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, I wanted to just remind us, as I have the past 2 weeks, of the context as to why Paul's writing this letter. He's writing this letter to this church because there has been some teaching that has come into this group of believers saying that, yeah, Jesus, that's good, believe in him, but there's some other stuff that he's not fully sufficient. There are some other things that you need to understand and be a part. Jesus is lacking, he's insufficient, and Paul's desire here is to encourage them, and he wants them to know that Jesus is fully sufficient in every way, and he wants them to strengthen their trust in him. He wants them to see the beauty and the sufficiency of Christ. He wants them to know that in Jesus Christ, there is everything that they need, that there isn't no one, there is nothing else that is needed, so that they might be redeemed, so that they might be restored, so they might know God's grace and forgiveness. In him alone is found everything that they need towards meaning and purpose in their lives. Jesus is everything. And so he goes on and he says this in verse 6 and 7, what we've already read twice, and real briefly with our limited time, here's what he says about them. In light of everything that I've just said, in my desire for you to mature in Christ, in my desire for you to be knit together and grow, in light of all of this, therefore, in light of all that's just been said, since that's there, then I want you to do this. And he says to them, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, just as you were taught. He's saying, I want you to stick with what you've been taught about Jesus. Don't get distracted by false teaching. Don't get distracted by what others are saying about who he is and what he's not. But walk in the truth of what you've already received and what you have been taught about Christ, that he alone, that Jesus alone is sufficient, that Jesus alone is supreme, that he is everything that you need in your life. He says, keep walking in Christ with two things in mind. First thing is that, is number one, that you're rooted, being rooted. Walk in Christ because here's what's taken place in your life. He's writing to believers here. You have been rooted in him. You have placed, if you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this is what has happened. That's a good song. I don't even know what song it is. Thank you, Sharon. What is it? I couldn't tell what it was. If it was a worship song, then that would be good. But you've been rooted in Christ. And the verb tense here for this word in the Greek is that this is a done thing. This is an accomplished thing. It's in the past. It's a picture of a tree that has put its roots down deep in the ground, finding nourishment there. And he's saying for you, Christian, keep walking in that because that's who you are. You are rooted in Jesus, and he is your nourishment. Keep walking in Christ. Fight the good fight well. Don't lose sight of what's happened and who you are and whose you are. And that it's Jesus that you're rooted in. He is your source of nourishment. And so keep walking in him and cling to him. And as you're walking in him, know that this is what's happening. Not only are you rooted in him, but you are being built up and established in him. It's happening as you are walking in him. It may seem hard. It may seem even at times like you feel like you're not growing at all. But as you're walking in obedience to Christ, you're growing in him. You're being built up in him. You are being established in him. And Paul's already shared, he's praying for them to be knit together in love, but he's also saying, I want you to go. I want you to keep walking in obedience to him and keep growing in him. He's not saying, go ahead and live as you want, and this building up and this being established is going to happen. No. The key thing is that we keep on walking in him, that we keep on trusting him, that we keep on walking in obedience to him, to the life and teaching of our Savior. And if that's our aim, then our walk and our lives and our thoughts are going to conform to Christ, and our trust in Christ will mature. And so what is this going like? What does it look like to walk in Christ? We don't have time to get into the depths of it here this morning, but that's what Paul goes on to teach them all throughout the rest of this letter. And he tells them about, hey, so this is what it looks like to walk in him. Here at the end of this chapter, verse 16 and on, he talks about, don't get disqualified. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions. These are some of the things that apparently these teachers are coming in saying, like, here's what, well, there's Jesus, but then there's also these other things he's saying. Don't get distracted by these other teachings. Verse 19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. There are things out there that are going to distract and can distract, but don't get sucked into these other things. Stay focused on Jesus, he says. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, he goes on and he says, you need to put to death, you need to take off what is earthly in you as you go about your lives, and you need to put on different things. He says then in chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's so easy to do, isn't it? Just to get focused on things here rather than to lift our eyes and our hearts and our minds to think on him and things that are above. Walking in Christ impacts our thought life. It impacts what we put off. He goes on in verses 5 through 10, and he talks about put away all these kinds of things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. See that you have put off the old self with its practices. And then he talks about what we need to put on. Put on the new self. He says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also forgive. But above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. He's saying, this is what it looks like to walk in him. In chapter 3, verse 18 to the beginning of chapter 4, he teaches what it looks like for the Christian in marriage and in the home. He keeps on saying, walk in Christ, and as you've been rooted in Christ, they can know that as they walk in obedience to him, they're going to continue to be built up, that they're going to grow in him, that they're going to mature in Christ. And in verse 7, which is the last verse that we're going to look at this morning, he ends with this reminder as to what kind of attitude we ought to walk in. And he says this, be abounding in thanksgiving. Because whenever we grasp, whenever we understand the depths of God's mercy and his grace for us, what other response can there be than gratitude for the undeserved mercy that he has granted helpless and hopeless sinners? That's who we are without Christ. I was just reminded as we sang this song this morning, we go back to what the lyrics say in verse 3 of this magnificent, marvelous, matchless love hymn that we sang. The lyrics say this: "What grace that you entered our brokenness. You came in the fullness of time. How far we had fallen from righteousness, but not from the mercies of Christ." You know, what an amazing statement right there. Like how far we had fallen, and we still fall every day. And so many failures in our lives, and we think that we are too far gone. But the truth of that lyric, how far we had fallen from righteousness, but not from the mercies of Christ. There is nothing. His mercy is even greater and goes further. Your cross is our door to redemption. Your death is our fullness of life. That day, how forgiveness flowed as a flood, magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. It's amazing. That's the only reason that you and I are in this room. It's the only reason that we can even stand before God, is because of the magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. I don't know. Got it wrong, probably. But it's amazing. I just listened to it. I was running last week listening to this song. I was like, it's so good. So good. I mean, his love and his grace is so good to us. And so here's the application that I want us to see this morning. As we aim for and strive for maturity in Christ as our goal, as we've looked at the steps over these 3 weeks, we've looked at the importance of saying I'm here and plugging in and being a part and finding a place to belong, a church family, and how God uses that, and how he uses not just saying I'm here, but also saying I want to grow with some people and I'm going to get knit together in love. I'm going to live that out, but now I'm going to go and I'm going to walk in him and I'm going to walk in obedience to him. The Paul's saying, live this out. Pursue knowing Christ in your lifestyle, in your behavior. And so there's two ways that I especially want to encourage us this morning to walk in him, to go and to walk in Christ. And the first one is in regards to find a ministry. How are you going to go? Well, go in serving one another. Find a ministry here to serve in. God's gifted us all in different ways. Paul says it like this to the church in Rome. Regarding walking in Christ and serving one another, he says in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members don't all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of the other. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. To the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. To the one who contributes, to it in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." He's saying we all have different gifts. We all have different roles. We all have different parts and ways that we can build up the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage us to walk in him and to serve and find a way. Maybe for some, it's using whatever gifts that God's given you in a children's ministry, in our adult ministry, with our teens. There is plenty of ways to serve throughout our congregation. Maybe it's in providing meals. Like so many, as I look out, are plugged in and serving each other and our church family in some way. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Find a way to use the gifts that God has given you. Everybody is needed. And secondly, Paul says this in chapter 4 of his letter to the Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, he says this: "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." He's asking for them to pray for him, that there would be open doors through which he can share the gospel. This is the work that Jesus has left us with, going and sharing the gospel. sharing the good news. And so he encourages them in the same manner in verses 2 through 6 of chapter 4. Verse 5, he says this, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Make the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." There's this piece of walking with Christ that impacts our lives in such a way that affects how we share the good news of the gospel with others. It's what we've been called to do. That's what we have to do here. That's what we are about as a church, about helping people find and follow after Christ. And so in this last section of I'm growing, some of the things that we want to encourage you to do is take those steps of leading others to Christ. You know, when was the last time that you led someone to Christ? When was the last time that you shared the gospel with somebody and you told them about the goodness of Jesus and who he is and what difference he's made in your life? This phrase, it just sticks out to me. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. Make the best use of your time, because time is flying by. Last on Friday night, we were down dropping off Noah at Messiah in college. They have this candlelight worship service in the evening on Friday. It's like the thing right before they say, "All right, parents, say bye to your kids." And at the end of it, I mean, the whole time you're just thinking about, man, how are we here? 22 years ago, or I guess it'd been 26 years ago, Kristen and I were going through that same thing with our parents. And now 22 years later, here we are already. Where did these years go? And then after that, everybody's a mess, just crying. And it was an ugly thing. But time is flying by. Time is flying by. And so make the best use of the time that you can. God's put us here for a reason. And so are you investing your time wisely? Are you making the best use of your time that you've been given to mature in Christ by serving his church, by sharing the gospel with those who have yet to believe? Time is of the essence. Make the best use of your time with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, for the sake of the gospel. Make the most of your time and use your gifts for the edification of the church and its witness to the world. As Paul says it like this in Ephesians 3:10, make the best use of your time so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I want to encourage you to keep on taking steps and keep on growing in him. And these steps aren't ones where you made it past one, now you make it to two, and now you're to three. But these are steps where you keep walking in them. You go, you do step one, step two, step three, and go back to step one, step two, step three. You just keep walking in them in whatever order, and you just keep walking in them over and over in this journey. Because the goal is that we want to get to the finish line of seeing Jesus' face whenever we see him, when we're home. And we can say, yeah, I've made it. I've fought the good fight. And so as we close today, I want to remind us that we can't take any of these steps on our own apart from Christ. We cannot do this on our own. It is only with his help. He is our only hope, and he is our only reason that we have life. And so listen one more time to Paul's words as we prepare for communion this morning, as it's all about Jesus. It's never going to be about anyone else. Here's what Paul writes, verses 9 through 15 here of Colossians 2. He's talking about Jesus. "For in him," for in Jesus, "the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And he disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." Hear it one more time. Who is fully God? It's Jesus. Are we lacking in anything? No. Why? Because who have we been filled with? It's Jesus. We no longer live for the flesh, but we have now been freed to live and want to live for who? Jesus. With whom have we been baptized and raised to new life? Jesus. How have we been made alive? Because of Jesus. How has the debt that we owed for all of our sins been canceled? Because of Jesus who bore it on the cross. How is it that God has disarmed and shamed the rulers and authorities of this world? By being victorious over them at the cross. And they have nothing to accuse us of because we are forgiven and we are Jesus's. It's all about Jesus. We have everything in Jesus. He isn't lacking a single thing. We have everything in him. And because of that, we give everything that we have with thanksgiving. It's because of Jesus that we say and we long to say, I'm here, because he said, I'm here, and he came. And we now say, I'm here, have your way with me. And we say, I'm growing, knit me in love to other believers because I want to know Jesus more. And I'm going because I'm overflowing with a desire to share the good news of the one who is everything to me. It's all about Jesus. Every single step along the way, our lives, everything is consumed with knowing him more. And so this morning, as part of our response to the encouragements that our hearts have in Christ, to the assurance of faith that we have in Christ, to the treasures that we have in knowing Jesus as our Savior, we come to the altar as a community, as a church family, knit together in love, and we come to remember Jesus and his love that was demonstrated for us at the cross, even while we were yet sinners. And so this morning, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come and to participate in this time as we remember the night in which Jesus betrayed, as we remember how he came and he suffered and he died. He lived a life that we could never live, and he died in death that he didn't deserve, but you and I deserve, and he paid it all at the cross. And as we come, I just want to read this and remember that this is what happened and what Jesus did. As the Apostle Paul recounts in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he also took the cup. And after supper, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So take as much time as you need to kneel, stand, and center yourself in Christ.